Healthy Children with the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Melanie Cole.
Well, it seems like every time you turn on the news, there's a new update on the Zika virus. And you know that we're talking about it on so many of our shows and that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have really called the Zika virus a global health concern, a global health emergency. So we're talking today with Dr. Corey Cross. She is a fan favorite here on Healthy Children and a spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So what do parents, let's put this into perspective for parents, Dr. Cross, because you and I are both parents. And you hear about these viruses and you get nervous, even though it's not necessarily something that's affecting children directly, unless babies. So speak about what you want parents to know about this.
So parents who live in the United States who have no upcoming trips to the Caribbean or Latin America or South America really probably have nothing to worry about. This is a mosquito that we do have in the southeast of the United States, so Texas, the Gulf Coast, Florida. We do have this mosquito, but right now we are not seeing the disease spread through mosquitoes here. And so we have to think about how mosquitoes fly. They don't really fly very far. So it's not that the mosquito is coming from the Caribbean and coming over here. What we worry about is somebody would come here with the disease, the mosquito would bite them, and then would bite somebody else, and that's how the mosquito transfers the disease. And that's usually the only way that it happens. Of course, when you're talking about something of this magnitude where we're seeing, you know, thousands and thousands of cases, the WHO, the WHO, the World Health Organization, actually thinks there might be as many as 4 million people infected by the end of 2016. So when you're thinking about that many people, you're going to see these rare cases like we saw yesterday of a man who transferred it to, I believe it was his wife. And he had been in Venezuela, got Zika. He now is in Texas, and he transferred his wife through sex. And so that we have seen a few of those cases before in the past. We now have documented that it is possible. So we will see cases like that when you're talking on this magnitude, but the bulk of people who are going to be infected are going to be infected by a mosquito bite. And so if you're not in the area where they have this mosquito that is infected with, or I guess the mosquito's not infected, but the mosquito's carrying this virus, then you don't really have much to worry about.
So, Dr. Cross, you're a pediatrician, and parents run to you, freaked out about everything, and call you at 4 in the morning because their child goes, you know. So I can imagine that this virus is going to freak a lot of parents out, and especially because the flu-like symptoms include yours and my favorite, conjunctivitis. Ugh.
Right.
What a nasty business.
Purulent conjunctivitis. So this is red eyes without the discharge.
Oh,
so,
nice. Okay,
yeah,
that's better.
Fever, rash, joint pain, non-gooky conjunctivitis, muscle pain, headaches. It lasts sometimes like 4 to 7 days. It basically comes on somewhere between 3 and 12 days after you've been bitten by the mosquito. So if you've traveled there and you or your child has any of these symptoms and you've recently been there in the last couple of weeks, definitely you want to go to your doctor. And the issue is that, one, we don't have a really quick and effective way of knowing whether or not somebody has Zika. So this is a test where we're drawing the blood or collecting the samples. We're sending it to the CDC. Some state health offices are able to run the test. But it's not something where, you know, we can do a rapid strep in the office and tell you if they have it. That's not the case. Most labs can't run these tests. So this is something that's being coordinated through the government right now, which is good because they're getting all the results. And, you know, although this virus has been around since the 1950s, because right now we're having this surge and the World Health Organization has made this, you know, a priority, we're going to learn a lot more about this virus in the upcoming months. So you're going to keep hearing about it in the news, and they're going to be learning a lot more probably in the next, like, year and a half than they have in 50 years about this virus. So, you know, that's the good thing, is that we're doing the research now and we have this opportunity to learn about it. The bad thing is we're sort of learning as we go. The important thing to realize is that 80% of people who are infected don't know they're infected. So that's a 1 in 5. So, you know, you might be a family of 5. 5 of you go down there, 1 of you get sick, the other 4 of you may have had it too, you just don't know it, which makes it hard then if you're trying not to transmit, if you're trying to keep the people who have it away and sort of inside until they're better so that they're not giving it to the mosquitoes. It's hard if most people walking around don't know they have it.
Well, that's true. And also the fact that it is not transmitted by a cough or by touching a surface.
Absolutely not.
You know, so using hand sanitizer is really not going to be the thing to protect you. And as you say, some people just really don't even know that they have symptoms. But really quickly, back to the testing. So if you have been to one of these places, even now Florida, if it's been in the Caribbean, Jamaica, and anywhere around there.
Well, right.
And
Florida,
and you come back.
Cases coming back with it.
So I would imagine they would, because they're kind of right there on the edge. Now, if you do go see your pediatrician because your child gets sick, and they, so you guys aren't able to test, but like pertussis, it's going to be reported. Somebody else, mm-hmm. You send it away, and then it gets...
Yes, exactly,
then
right. We collect the samples, and we send it away.
So do you have some prevention? I mean, have they talked about Dr. Cross, DEET, and bug spray and repellent, because I haven't heard a lot about that and whether or not this is something that's going to be a prevention.
So absolutely. So what they say is, because Brazil is going to be having the Olympics soon, and this is one of the places that has a lot of it, air conditioning. So air conditioning helps. Staying indoors with air conditioning, having screens. So all of those, I think they just put air conditioning in the Olympic Village because these are ways to prevent it. So mosquitoes don't really come into the air conditioning. So we have staying indoors, wearing long sleeves, long pants, using netting while you're sleeping if you don't have screens or you can't shut the doors. So you want to obviously eliminate standing water so you don't have mosquitoes breeding right around you. And then, yes, we want to be using insect repellent. So if you are pregnant, you want to use an insect repellent that is approved by the EPA. You know, most of the insect repellents here are fine. If you have a small child, you don't spray their face. We usually don't spray their bodies. What we do is we spray their clothes. We spray it on our hands, and we rub it onto them. This way they don't inhale the insect repellent. But, yes, insect repellent is a major way of dealing with this. In Florida, there's different counties that are now, you know, putting out educational campaigns on this. They're also asking people to remove their standing water. There are some areas that are starting with some fumigation. So they're trying to reduce the mosquito population, which is one of the ways that you sort of contain and control the spread.
Well, and I think that's another important point you bring up is mosquito abatement, and some towns have it and some don't. And in those of us who live in a winter community, I know you do not, but we're in the winter now. So unless we're going somewhere, we're not really too concerned with it. But come the spring and all the rains and then the standing water into the summer, mosquito abatement is going to become more and more important, even though it's yucky when they go through your neighborhood.
It is. And, I mean, the thing that to remember is that, you know, some of these places where it has really just exploded, the virus has just, you know, infected so many people so quickly, the living conditions are different. So here in the United States, you know, you have to remember that mosquitoes really don't fly that far. So in areas where maybe there's not as many people living together, in close quarters, you're not going to see the same explosion of the virus. And that's why, you know, we have the same mosquito here, and it's the same mosquito that carries yellow fever and dengue fever, yet we in the United States don't really have that problem. So the hope is that this will be similar, that although there may be some cases, you know, scattered about, that we won't have the same explosion as they have had in the Caribbean, Latin America, and South America. But it is something definitely to think about as we come towards the spring.
So it's great advice, Dr. Cross. You are always a wealth of information and so well-spoken. You explain everything to parents so clearly. So not to panic, using DEET, long clothes. If you missed any of what she recommended here, listen again anytime, on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. Tell your friends about it. It's an important topic, an important segment. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.